Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Review Podcast. This is episode 3, and tonight we're doing Top Secret. My name is Sean, and with me tonight, again, and for always, are my two hosts here, co-hosts here, is Steve McLaughlin, a.k.a. Door-to-Door Geek. What's up, Door?
Hey, man. Doing very good. Got to watch some Top Secret, some Nick Rivers, so I'm definitely happy.
All right. That's awesome, man. How about you, Steve? How you doing? Steve Cherubino is with us tonight. He's going to be with us every week now. I convinced him to do this with us all the time.
Yes, man. I'm psyched. I'm doing great. I can't be better, man. I have a black and white chocolate chip cookie that reminds me of New York City style. And I'm all juiced up, ready for the show.
All right. Very cool, man. This was actually your choice. You were talking about this movie after we recorded last week. Episode we were talking and you brought up this movie and I had no idea. I thought you were actually talking about Real Genius when you said the Val Kilmer movie Top Secret. I'm thinking, I don't know that name, but you talk about, and I started talking about it and you're like, no, that's not it. So yeah, this was totally, you got Door too, when he found out, he was all excited about this movie. So you guys were super giddy about this. I was happy just to watch something that I thought I'd never seen before. Ended up that I actually did see it in bits and pieces, but we'll get.
I was surprised that you didn't actually.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can get more into that, what I thought of the movie, but. Well, why don't we do that? Why don't we go around and we'll kind of, you know, we can talk about what we actually thought of the movie, what we remember thinking of the movie before we rewatched it this time. So, Dor, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you thought you remembered.
Okay. Well, I used to be a big Mel Brooks fan and a Airplane fan. So in my mind, from beginning to end, this movie was nothing but belly laughing and songs. You know, I just remember thinking it was the funniest thing I've seen in a very long time. But I can tell you, my mind was definitely distorted on one thing. The, I want to say second song he sung, I swore was called Cutting the Rug. I was completely wrong. It's called Straighten the Rug. So that was the first key to me that my distortion field was distorted.
Well, I mean, it is from 84. I don't know how many. Did you watch it after, you know, since you were a kid, do you think? Or
I know I watched it in bits and pieces. I don't know if I watched the whole thing maybe since like 91, 92.
Yeah. What about you, Steve?
I remember we had this on VHS on a dub. We dubbed it off cable. And I've watched it so many times that I kind of remember all the parts, but again, just like Smoking the Bandit, the plot was kind of, well, Smoking the Bandit had a pretty simple plot, but in this movie, it, for a kid, it's kind of complicated, so the plot was lost on me, so I watched it very carefully this time. I knew all the goofy parts, but I didn't know what they meant, and this time, it made the whole movie complete for me, because I now put the plot in with all the, you know, shenanigans.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I had no idea of this movie. Even when I looked up on IMDb and I saw the cover art for it, it just did not ring a bell with me at all until I actually started to watch it. And then I didn't remember what it was about, but then certain scenes would come up and I'm just like, okay, I know this was definitely one of those movies on HBO, you know.
But did you remember what actually the scenes like, and was it funny to you, like seeing it almost for the first time, or did you remember everything once you saw it?
I did not. I didn't remember everything. I would remember them as they happened. I didn't remember what the outcome was going to be, or you know how this was going to happen, or you know. But then when the next scene would happen, you know, I'd be like, okay, yes, that that rings a bell. A few episodes didn't. So like I said, it was probably one of those things on HBO, you know, maybe it was raining out or something in the summer and I was flipping around and, you know, I'd watch a little bit here and watch a little bit there. So it was kind of new to me, I guess you could say.
Right.
But,
yeah, I was curious to see what you would think about it.
Well, why don't we do this? We will do, speaking on timing, we'll do, or I'll attempt to do another 60 seconds or less, plot coverage of the movie, summary of the movie. And then we can move on to, we'll just kind of talk about the movie, I guess. And I can kind of get more into what I thought and what you guys thought now seeing it again. So let me get myself all ready here.
You tell me when you're ready and okay. I'll hit you with the countdown.
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay, start.
In this 1984 spoof of the 1949 film Cloak and Dagger, East German Nazis bring U.S. rock star Nick Rivers to East Germany for the cultural festival to attempt to distract the world so they can carry out the destruction of the NATO submarines with the new Polaris mine. With this success, Germany will become one again. The rock star arrives in Germany and quickly gets himself mixed up with the French resistance, particularly with Hillary. Hillary's father is the scientist that Germans are holding captive and forcing to design the mass weapon. From here, a string of comedic events begin, such as manly East German women's Olympic team handing over the key to the city, a souvenir-selling disguised agent, a wonderful Kilmer rendition of Tutti Frutti, an immensely popular Nutcracker ballet, which lands Rivers in jail with a deadly intruder, and then Rivers and Hillary meet with the backwards Swedish Grand Moff Tarkin. Rivers and Hillary then meet up with the French underground, only to find that the leader of the French resistance, the Torch, is none other than Nigel, Hillary's long-lost love. The Nazis discover the underground's hideout, and a shootout begins. The resistance defeat the Nazis and decide that the only thing for them to do is to head to the local pizza house, where they convince Nick Rivers to lead them to the jail to break out Hillary's father. When they discover that Nigel is in fact the traitor, and Rivers and Nigel end up in an auto shootout. In the end, the guy gets the girls, the German's plan is foiled, and the world is safe again thanks to rocker Nick Rivers.
Oh! 1 minute, 20 seconds.
I fumbled a little bit there.
Oh! You were closer on Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. And I...
That was a good synopsis,
I edited it down quite a bit, too. I was like, oh, I got to take that. I don't need that. I don't need that.
Did you say the ballet was immensely popular for a reason?
It was, yes. Yes, I did. Because...
It was immense.
It was. Definitely the... Well... Yeah, the Nutcracker scene where they're at the ballet and I don't remember that part. That was new to me, so I definitely got a serious chuckle out of that. When the girl ballerinas came out, I'm like, all right, something's gonna happen here. And sure enough, the guys ballerinas come out and they are just stuffed to the gills. I mean, in the front. I mean, to where it's used as leverage device.
Exactly.
For all the ballerinas.
Platforms.
Yeah, platforms.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot about that part, but the split second I saw the ballet, it all clicked right in. Yeah. It was one of those scenes that I just completely just left my mind. And then when she was running across them from one end of the stage to the other, that to me was the truly funny part.
Yeah, that was funny. That was definitely funny.
It was awfully fake how she was floating around, like, but it was, that made it even more.
Yeah,
fake.
I mean, the whole movie was like that. in my little summary there, I say that it's basically a spoof of like the 1949 Cloak and Dagger. Did you guys ever see the original Cloak and Dagger movie?
No.
I don't believe
I
have.
And I almost wish I did now, because I feel like some of the movie might have been lost on me because I didn't see it.
Right.
Well, it's not scene for scene, but I mean, like the overall, it's, you know, similar to this. It's not a rocker that goes over. It's another scientist that actually goes over. I would definitely recommend watching that movie at some point. I mean, it's a great movie, and I just recently watched it. As far as Cloak and Dagger to me was, you know, Dabney Coleman in 1984.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then someone I mentioned a lot on AAA, The Retroist, actually recommended me to watch that movie. He was asking if I ever saw it. So I went and watched it, man. And I love old movies anyways. So it's nice to see the comparison of the two Cloak and Daggers. And then when you said this movie, I mean, if you go to IMDb, it's a real brief description of what this movie is. There's no big long, right? It's just, you know, American Rocker goes over to Germany, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, that is totally, this has got to be just like a spoof on Cloak and Dagger. So anybody that can, I would recommend watching that movie.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of quote-unquote old stuff, like movies more than 30, 40 years old. I typically cannot even begin to sit through, but I will say when they're really good, like Maltese Falcon, oh, I can sit through them, and I can enjoy them a lot, so I'll definitely look that up. The only spoof when I was a kid I caught in the movie was The Great Escape, when Val hopped on the motorcycle and he made the jump. That was the only spoof when I was a kid that I could relate directly from this movie to something else.
Right.
To what movie?
The Great Escape. Old.
Oh, he jumped over a bunch of buses?
Well, no, first he just jumped the fence. But then Val had to, of course, jump over buses as well. He had to take it one step further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good reference movie, too. The Great Escape, Steve McQueen.
Exactly.
That's a great movie. Oh, speaking of which, I that was like one of the first movies I bought on DVD when I got my computer, and I tried to play it in the computer, and it would not play. It ended up, it was a bootleg that, I mean, I bought it off of eBay or something, but it was sold as like brand new. I don't know, they shrink wrapped it and everything, man, but it ended up being a bootleg DVD, and it wouldn't play in anything. Or it was PAL, maybe that's what it was.
Dude, I even think the episode of, or the version of Top Secret I got off of Amazon Video on Demand this time was shady because it literally had like VCR blips in it.
What?
And I'm like, I got it from Amazon.
Amazon streaming?
Yes.
Wow.
The audio was, it was noise, like there was like Dolby noise reduction on it. You could definitely hear that. And there was noise in parts, and it was, I'm like, this is a dub.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I just turned on ye old Netflix. Look beautiful, spectacular. I will say, though, I'll be honest with you guys, the movie was just a slight bit disappointing to what my memory of it was. And it was only because the singing scenes weren't as good to me the second time around when I was watching them.
I disagree. For me, it was better because the music was fantastic. The production value of these songs, I thought, was
right.
They don't make them like that for the movies anymore. They were great.
I agree, and I will wholeheartedly admit, it was him actually singing the songs. It was not some really crappy voiceover dub with somebody else singing. That was genuine Val Kilmer singing.
It was?
Yeah. And
you sure?
I read all the credits.
Yeah.
This is one guy who read the credits. I don't read. I read the credits. And he did very good. It was just, to me, the songs where they were almost trying to be too serious about making music. I wanted more hokey antics. You know, and there was like one or two in there where they were trying to be a little bit more serious. But
what? You're nuts. Like, well, what? What was serious in the movie about that?
What movie were you watching? Were you watching Top Secret?
The song that was sung out on the ending credits, for one.
Oh, during the ending credits?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
there was nothing hokey about that.
Well, I guess it was just hokey that they were in the end credits. They kind of came up towards the end of them.
Yeah.
If I didn't expect most people to even get that far.
And for some reason, I thought the Tutti Frutti one had more like energy to it. And he definitely tried climbing on top of tables, you know, going down with chairs kind of thing, doing really good moves, picking up large German women, dancing with them kind of thing. But it didn't have as much like a, dare I say, pizzazz as I remembered it in my head to have. But I will say,
dare I,
the cut in the rug, or straighten the rug, I did it again. That was the whole movie in a nutshell. It was just unbelievably bad special effects with the guys swinging the girls around their head.
I love
and
that.
And him doing the backspin through the floor. I mean, epic. Just to me, that was just epic.
I agree. That was classic.
Well,
right before they sang that song, sorry, Sean. Right before they sang the song, remember, were you watching the people eating the pizza behind them?
Yes, with the long, super, it was literally, the pizza cheese was stretching like 8 feet.
Is that?
Yeah.
You know what? I just noticed that today the second time, and I didn't even put together that was pizza cheese. I thought they were like doing like some kind of string game or something that they were getting ready.
Really?
I didn't put that together.
With the directors of the movies whose names I never remember, who are the three guys who've done
the Airplane. Zucker
the Airplane guys?
Zuckers and Abrams or something like that. They do a lot of these kind of movies where you have to pay attention to really catch everything. To me, one of the best parts about the lead up to the scene in the pizza joint was when the guy basically, the little guy, his head came over top the table, that was it, and they were like, maybe he is Mel Torme. And then at the very end, he was like, that's no Mel Torme. Because people today have no idea who Mel Torme is. And honestly, first time I saw it, I had no idea who that was. And like a couple years after that, I remember my mom watching something. And I was like, who the hell is this? This is horrible. And then like a year or two later, I saw Top Secret again. And it just made that scene complete. Because that is no Mel Torme.
Yeah, you know, I love old movies, old shows. I love old music. But Mel Torme was one that I never got into. And the way I found out about Mel Torme was Night Court. Because
Harry Anderson's idol.
Like, he loved Mel Torme. And I remember, at that time, I didn't know who he was then until he came on an episode.
Right, and then you think to yourself, why is this guy's idol?
Yeah, I mean,
it made no sense to me as a kid.
I like crooners, you know, Sinatra. You know, I like Harry Connick Jr. He's a modern crooner type guy, but I never got into Mel Torme.
I still couldn't tell you what he looks like or what any of his songs are.
Yeah, he's a short guy. I'm pretty sure he's like a shorter guy.
Stumpy guy. But the thing I did like about this movie was basically like the non-stop, something is always happening in this movie. You had to pay attention from him in the very beginning on the train learning German with his
handler
manager
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. There was little things happening all throughout that scene. From then on, you basically have to pay attention.
Yes.
Because they would bring things back up like 20 minutes later, to where if you didn't catch it the first time, it's not going to be as funny the second time. Yeah. And I'll say, casting-wise, I mean, really, Val Kilmer was the only American-known actor that I can think of in the movie.
I think so. There were some big names in here. Omar Sharif, I believe he was in Maltese Falcon, I think. He was in some old movies. I know his name. I like older movies. I don't know all the actors. But in my if I don't know if people will catch in my 60-second the Swedish reverse Grand Moff Tarkin. That's Peter Cushing. He was Grand Moff Tarkin in Star Wars, A New Hope. The guy with the Swedish guy they go to talk to with the big eye.
The magnifying glass,
and he pulls it away, and its eye is still huge. Yeah, that's Peter Cushing. He was, Grand Moff Tarkin.
Dude, I would have never picked up on that, ever picked up on that.
Yeah, I instantly, I was like, oh.
Yeah, and I'll say, I think this was the first movie I saw Val in. And it was like instantly I was a fan of his. I wanted to see anything he was in. I wanted to watch everything he was in. And then came The Saint, which completely kiboshed that. Which, you know, in hindsight, that movie really wasn't that bad. But at the time, that was a horrible movie.
The Saint. I don't know if I'm familiar with that one. I think
he was like The Saint, like the spy guy. And it was really, I think, if I remember correctly, a advertisement for Audi cars, the whole movie kind of thing.
All right. Well, I believe this was his debut movie, wasn't it?
Don't know.
He was young. Yeah, I was a Val Kilmer fan after this, too. He was so cool in this movie.
See, I'm not a Val Kilmer fan.
What do you got against
Val? It's not that I have anything against. It's just like, you know, Star Trek. I just don't like Star Trek. I don't like Val Kilmer.
You don't like Val Kilmer in the same way you don't like Star Trek?
No,
that's
no,
harsh.
It's not. It is. No. See, again, I'm not allowed to explain it. See, Steve, we got to do this 2 weeks in a row now. So this is my show. So now I get to explain. On AAA, I get hounded as a Star Wars guy. I don't have anything against Star Trek. I just, it does nothing for me.
It has to be rooted in something.
No, actually, because when I grew up as a kid, my mother, she would take us to the movies. We would watch the original series when I was a kid. Matter of fact, this won't be on video, but back there, I think I told you about that. See, that's a quilt that my mother made me when I was like 7 or 8 years old. It's a Star Trek patch quilt. So I'm not like Apple iPhone or anything like that. It just doesn't do anything for me, Star Trek. You know?
Maybe I assume so because I really don't like it. I will admit
Star
that.
Trek?
I don't like Star Trek. I don't like it. There's something about it. I'm like that with some bands, like U2. I can't explain it, but I hate them.
I can't stand them. I'm Irish. It's like that, I can't stand them. Yeah. And Irish people can't stand them.
That's the way I felt on Star Trek. I don't think I liked the uniforms they wore. It was like they're walking around in pajamas. The special effects were pathetic.
All right.
You know what? Star Trek was a show. Star Wars was a movie, so I think that the budgets were just so different that maybe that's what it was. Mm.
Throwback Reviews, it made 3 episodes, and then it just went down the tank. No one listened anymore because all the geeks are offended.
Well, they'll get over it.
Oh, I'll bring the controversy every week, get the ratings up.
No, but, God, I don't even know where we were at, how we even got to that point. But Val Kilmer, yeah. I don't like him.
I'll bring it back. This was, in fact, his first acting role, which explains why there was nobody else in the movie, because a complete nobody got the lead role. You know what I mean? So there was no other big names at that time in there.
Sean said there was big names. Well, I guess you would say like big names of this era. You know, that'd be, you know,
right.
You have older time, you know, actors that were big in their like heyday, you know, even though they're big, well known. I know what you're saying. It's like you don't have Val Kilmer with Tom Cruise or something at this point together doing a movie. It's not that I really have anything against Val Kilmer either. I just don't really get into it. But he was great in this movie.
Okay, you're trying to tell me you don't like Willow?
I do like Willow.
Okay,
I don't like
Willow.
Oh
man, he was good in Willow.
I'm thinking of Labyrinth. Willow was okay.
I don't like The Doors, but I liked him as Jim Morrison in the movie The Doors. Tombstone, he was Doc Holliday. I thought he did really
Doors all
good.
Over IMDb.
I am. Because honestly, certain roles he was in, I just thought he did really good. Just really solid good, you know?
Top Gun.
Iceman.
Did I tell you guys when we were at Ohio Linux Fest last year, I saw him when I went because they were Dor, Steve, and I, and a bunch of guys from the Podnuts crew, we all went to the Ohio Linux Fest last September.
No, you didn't tell us that.
And while they were all at like speeches, talks, and convention stuff, they had a Comic-Con, like Columbus, Ohio Comic-Con at the same time. So I was like, I'm going to go here. So I went there by myself, and I saw a lot of, Patrick Stewart was there. There was a ton of people. Yeah, Val Kilmer was there.
Chicks?
Yeah.
Not famous
Chicks. The one that you were talking about, I can't remember her name. She was from Dollhouse. Something.
Oh, Eliza Dushku.
Yeah, she was there. That was a great Comic-Con, I thought. I mean, the size wasn't like San Diego. I've not ever been to San Diego, but we all know how big that is. I mean, that's obnoxious. I couldn't do that. But it was a good time, man. It really was. But yeah, he was there signing autographs.
He's plumped out, eh? He got big, right?
He looked like he was retaining some water.
Dude, he was in the Ten Commandments, the musical. Wow, is all I gotta say. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So, anyways, to bring it back to this movie, we could go down a rabbit hole about just about anything. That's because we you know, we know each other and we do
we're
this
at
Triple A. Yeah. But anyways, no, I thought his acting was great, especially his first role. I mean, it was really well done. And this movie definitely is like one of those movies where there was really no lack of something going on as far as like comedy. It's just every scene was just something really packed with comedy, this movie, I thought. I enjoyed that. So you kind of like the whole storyline, everything, you know, like the Nazis in East Germany, when there's no Nazis left, you know, it was kind of funny. You know, they're going to.
Well, yeah. And the one scene that really sticks in my head, and other movies, I don't know if this was the first movie that did it. This is the first movie I remember did it, where they used camera angle to give you the perception like you were really close to something. And then somebody came to that item and it turned out to be gigantic. It was a phone, and it made it look like they were really close to the phone and the people were really far back. And when they walked up to the phone, it turned out the phone receiver was like 4.5 foot long.
Yeah,
and the guy,
I love that
and the guy just picked it up and talked on it like it was a normal phone. That was the first movie I remember doing that kind of misdirection, illusion, whatever.
Yeah, that was a good scene. And then, like, when the guy's feet are up, Sean, should we just dish out all of our favorite scenes, or what? So. Okay. That reminds me of the scene where the guy's feet are up on the desk.
Yes.
And then he gets out of the chair and his feet are still up on the desk.
Right.
Hey, how about my favorite scene? I got a list of them here. I'll go just say the first one. Remember the scene where they're at the going to the potato farm? And they're in a carriage filled with hay in the back. Yeah. And you hear like the guy who's like riding the carriage is like singing like it's Italian opera style song. And then they keep zooming in the camera and you hear this wonderful singing. It's like all in pitch and it's like very happy. As they zoom in more, you realize that it's the horse that's pulling the carriage that's doing the actual singing. Oh, dude, I loved that part. And then the horse starts coughing. And Val Kilmer and the girl are like, "Is he all right?" He's like, "Oh yeah, he's just a little horse."
Yeah.
And he was a little horse. So
he was a little white horse. Classic scene.
Yeah.
And then he starts singing Beatles songs on the way.
Yeah. I can't remember what song it was. And when I was a kid, I had no idea.
It's been a hard day's night.
Hard day's night.
He was
yeah.
singing it with an accent.
Exactly. That was so good. I'm sorry. That's the kind of scene where I literally missed something. I know I missed something in that scene because I was too busy laughing at it.
Well, they just kept rolling after that, the scenes.
Yeah.
They were classic when they met the French Resistance. But I'll let you guys
know. Yeah, I don't think there was, I mean, there was some scenes that I like better or that are, I guess, more favorites. But there really wasn't a bad scene in this movie.
Yeah.
I really like the park scene where Nick and Hillary have to start kissing. Because they're, you know, the, I don't think it would be the Gestapo, whoever, the Germans are coming. In the background is a big, huge statue of like a pigeon. And then, and then people come flying down on the pigeon and start doing their business on the statue of the pigeon. And then just
like taking a leap.
You know, and that's what I really enjoyed about this movie because, like my sense of humor can just be out there sometimes. And I often think, wow, man, it's just the things I think of and I'll say them to my wife and she just, I mean, she's used to it now. We've been together, you know, 17 years. Wow. But I think to myself, other people don't think this way, you know, just and something like that. Like who really just thinks of, okay, there's a big pigeon statue. And then these guys come down. There was like three guys and they do their business and then they just kind of take off. And then the pigeon statue that part of the pigeon doing his business after I thought that part wasn't needed. I liked it just the way it was with the people coming up.
Me too. I thought that this time watching it, I thought the same thing. They ruined it with that.
Yeah, I had to actually flash back 10 seconds because I was like, I don't remember that. It was unneeded. But I will say, that's the scene of the movie that I said to myself, my kids would love this movie. Love it. They would literally be giddy for like 20 minutes after that scene.
Yeah.
That is a movie for kids.
And
what Sean said...
No, hold on a second. You think this is a movie for kids?
No.
Absolutely not.
When I was done watching the movie, I said, ain't no way my kid's watching this movie.
And that's it. Yeah, it's PG. See, that's is that whole thing we come back to is the rating system's changing. Like, yeah, this is totally a PG, at least a PG-13 movie now.
Yeah, I'd say her
All right.
Knockers lighting up isn't bad, but I did remember that. I was waiting for that part when they literally glowed for a second. But in the cow suit, there were two things that happened that I said, no.
Even the one, the ball, like, I don't think it was too graphic, but but then the cow or whoever after, that, like, how do you explain? No, yeah, I couldn't explain that. And the part that, because I was thinking up until this scene, I'm going to say, the intruder when he's in jail with the deadly intruder, when his handler or his manager comes in and he pulls out the box, the anal intruder. That's right there. I'm like, okay, we're done. Kids ain't watching this
what's,
one.
Wait, what's the deadly intruder?
When he comes in and he talks about
the
how
the anal intruder. Yeah.
I know that, but I thought it was a spoof of a deadly intruder. I never heard of.
Well,
him.
No, in my 60 seconds, I called it. I said he's. He's trying to be funny.
And I will say, as soon as he handed him the box, I thought to myself, well, so far this is kind of kid-friendly. And then when he pulled it out, I'm like, okay, this is not kid-friendly.
No, you guys, God. Look, I watched it as a kid. I didn't know what that thing was. I thought it was like a power tool.
That was my only saving grace in my head, because when I was a kid, I don't think I remembered it either. But the cow scene, I remember kind of, I think, understanding what was going on.
Yeah.
But I will say, when Nigel started walking funny when I was a kid, I think I died laughing. I think that was one of the most hysterical scenes when I was a kid. He walked super, I can't even describe it, just weird.
Like his bum hurt.
Yeah, and then he took a gun off of a tree and the tree fell down. I remember that too, very clearly.
My kids aren't going to watch this one. Not for a while, at least. But we did, man. I swear, we all watched movies back then that...
They don't understand.
Yeah.
Depends how old they are. But it obviously depends how old they are.
I think my 11-year-old may question. I don't know. Maybe not, but I think that's just... I'd rather avoid that. Awkward situation.
Yeah, and I'll say my youngest son, who's 5, would not sit through it, no doubt in my mind. My oldest might sit through it. It's hard to say. I think the one scene that he would also love but question insanely to me was when they were in their camp being attacked by the Germans. And they basically play tic-tac-toe through the windows.
Yeah.
My son would have had at least 20 questions for me with that. How is that possible? How are they doing that? I don't understand. He's shooting a perfect circle.
I love that scene because each member of the resistance had a different window scene. Yes, I thought that was
they had
great.
A knockout, every time they had a knockout a window.
Yeah. Deja Vu couldn't. He tried.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nigel had to hit the only... open pane or the only closed pane of glass, even though the whole rest of the window was open.
Yes, and it turns out he actually is at least a moderately successful British actor. In American TV and movie, I don't ever remember him seeing any place else. I can say that ever. But over there, he was at least semi-popular. And I just remember with him the two scenes, him coming out of the doorway wearing nothing more than a loincloth with baby oil all over him. I'm thinking, what was he doing back there to come out looking like that?
When I saw him, I thought it was Jason Isaacs. I had to look that one up. Nigel, if he was
Jason Isaac,
he was Lucius Malfoy in Harry Potter, but he was also in. What the heck was that movie, The Patriot, I believe, with Mel Gibson?
Yep.
He was in The Patriot, so that's who I thought it was. So I had to
look that
one up. I
think he's too young to be him.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. But it definitely looked like him.
Yeah, and one of the things I loved about the resistance was all their names. Utterly ridiculous. Croissant, Chocolate Mousse, Deja Vu. It was just, names that are not names.
They were awesome. Yeah. The name, oh gosh, I can't even remember more. Ducroix was one, but that actually was a real. Does that doesn't mean anything, does it? I even looked it up.
Think so.
Ducroix. Okay, yeah, Ducroix. Oh gosh, I can't remember anymore. But then they're fake French accents.
Latrine. That was a good name there.
Yeah.
And then they're fake French accents, and the things they were saying, like, of course, when something happened, they're all going like "Sacre bleu,"
exactly.
Like the most common like French explanation.
Yeah, this movie was maybe the most stereotypical movie ever made, because every stereotype that could have been portrayed, I think, was portrayed. Just about.
Yes,
but it was. I don't know. I don't think it was offensive in any way. But you know, I don't generally get offended that easily anyways with stuff. You know, I try to just look at stuff for what it is anyways with movies. Well,
and if it offended the French people, you know, come on.
I still think Hilary Flamand is the best name.
Yeah.
I love that name.
That was good. That was very good.
It's just a rolls off
the
tongue.
I just love the name Nick Rivers. I was like, what kind of name is Nick Rivers? You know?
Yeah, I know you guys don't watch it, but maybe some of the listeners do. Deja Vu, who is Jim Carter, is the actor. He is actually Carson on Downton Abbey. He's like the head butler on Downton Abbey. I know you guys don't watch it, but anybody, when I saw that, I was like, no way. I was like, that guy looks familiar. And then when I was doing all the IMDb checks of actors, I was like, no way.
The thing I remember most about that scene, I think is funny, is how they built. Remember how they built their houses
with the garage,
what they with made
spit
it,
and seaweed, dry seaweed, seaweed.
It wasn't spit; it was snot.
Oh, snot, oh. Yeah.
With bamboo and seaweed and snot. I'm like, oh, she said that with such a straight face. It's awesome.
Well, that was.
I love
that. Was Brooke Shields, wasn't it? In Blue Lagoon.
Yes.
Bo Derek was in 10.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry, you're right. But yeah, when he pulled out the garage door opener, that was the quintessential ending to that scene. I don't think they could have ended that cut any better.
And did you see what was in the garage? You had to look close. There might have been a foosball table, a motorcycle, it might have been a pool table. There was like some typical garage, like middle class garage stuff in there.
That is nuts.
Yeah, you know what else I liked was the guy who got shot. His second scene was the guy selling all the trinkets and all the souvenirs and everything. Like, that was a scene that I did remember as I'm watching it. I totally remembered that part. If I would have saw that clip, let's say like on a best of something or other, like movies best of the last how many years, I would not have known what movie it was from. But I totally knew, like, the scenes that actually like really stuck out for me, that was a scene when Cedric comes back into Hillary's room in his compacted car. I went through the car compactor, like that scene I specifically remember. And that, I think that's pretty much it as far as like those are two scenes.
Really?
Those are the two scenes that if I were to see him in a best of the past 30 years movies, I'd be like, I remember those scenes. I don't remember what movie they're from, but those are two scenes that I definitely remembered.
They were great scenes, especially when he was doing all the pranks on the guy, like exploding cigars and squirting flowers. And he was actually thinking it was funny. Oh, man, I love that.
Every time he heard someone coming, oh, look at this flower. It's sure to amaze at parties. Squirt right in the face.
And he would actually enjoy like doing that to the guy. Then even though it was a very serious, quote, should have been a serious scene.
Well, it was the fake flower, I think something else, and then the cigar.
Yeah, it was a shaving cream.
The bottom of the shaving cream shot out. And then, of course, at the very end of the scene, excuse me, you dropped your fake dog poop. What fake dog poo? I'm so happy they didn't actually show what was in his hand. But you could see his arm was extended like there was something in it. And that's all they needed to show to complete that scene kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you get the picture of what's going on.
But yeah, when he showed up to her bedroom, the one I always remember was her checking the glove compartment, leaning over. She was leaning over him and his eyes got real big. And then the antenna extended.
Yeah.
Gold. That, I'm sorry, gold.
I liked when the windshield wiper fluid went up his nose,
and
too.
So the wiper started going back and forth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The guy, well, the guy that he was talking to, the secret agent, when he gets shot, when he's talking to Hillary, and then the guy that comes in and shoots him, who is actually the same character in the beginning of the movie.
On top of the train.
Yeah, when Cedric's on top of the train with him. So is, I don't know. Let me get your opinion on this. Maybe I'm looking too much into it. Okay, so they're on the train, and the bridge is coming, and you know, he busts through that thing. Was it, to me, I'm going, okay, was, is this supposed to imply like Hitler was going for like the super race, like, is that what this is supposed to be? This guy that just goes through it like a robot? I mean, the bridge explodes and he just kind of shakes it off. He looks at him and then jumps off the bridge. So I was like, is that is that what the point is that they're trying to get across, or just that Cedric's screwed?
Well, when I was a kid, I took it as this guy was super. And then I was like shocked at like we didn't see him again for a while.
No, I think you're missing it. Maybe it's just me. I think that they were just trying to make a spoof off the classic scene on top of a train where a guy gets hit by the bridge.
Right. And I think you're right. See, I looked too much into it.
So did I.
In a movie like this,
I let myself go and get into the movie instead of trying to analyze it.
Well, I don't fault you. It was the very beginning. You didn't know how serious to take it at that point. Like, if that scene was at the very end, you'd probably think differently.
Yeah. And he's the one that – didn't he – that's the guy that Nick Rivers gets charged with killing, right? Isn't that the guy? He's in the –
Yes. He goes over the end of the balcony.
The balcony, yeah.
Really? I thought that was a fatter guy.
No, because he follows – yeah, he kills the secret agent – of the other ground, and then when Hillary's there and she takes off, I think.
Right.
Or no, then she, no, I think then she goes into, that's when he meets her, maybe. I don't know.
Well,
now I'm screwed
well,
up.
No, he is down in the bottom. He looks up. He sees her pull out a gun on her, start to like shake her, push her around. He takes off, goes up there, makes him swing and miss, punches him, goes back to the balcony. The guy charges him. He moves, ass over teacup, boom, boom, falls down.
Yeah.
Then they cut to a scene where he's being interrogated, and the phone rings, and the commander goes over and answers the phone and goes, "Uh-huh, yes, okay. Tell me if his condition changes." Then he puts the phone down and says, "It was he's dead."
Yeah, that I love that, because that call was going to determine whether they execute Nick Rivers,
right.
But I don't think that police chief was the guy from the beginning. That's what I'm saying. Whatever that guy's position was. To answer Sean's question, I don't think that was the same guy, but I'm probably wrong on that. But that scene was awesome because if that guy was dead, they're going to kill Nick. If the guy lived,
right,
he wouldn't.
Right.
Let me know if his condition changes.
Right.
He's dead.
I just remember as a kid, what? It like literally took me a second to catch on what he said.
Yeah. Oh,
wait a minute. He's dead. How his condition going to change? Because I was as a youngin, I found myself overthinking little parts of it, and then I'm like, and then of course, like a couple minutes later, you see the old woman in the walker at the firing squad, the phone ringing. She's super slow going through the phone when they're trying to stop the execution, and she's just super slow going over to the phone.
Yeah. That was awesome. Can we talk about the Swedish bookstore? I think this was the best scene in the movie.
That was the best scene.
Now, they filmed this whole scene in reverse, and that was just original and classic to me. I don't know any other movie where they did a whole scene like in reverse. But I didn't know the reason why they were doing it in reverse until I watched it this time. Because as a kid, I just thought it was in reverse, and that's funny. But she made it very clear before they went into the store that it was a Swedish bookstore. So they were mocking the Swedish language. I didn't get that.
I didn't pick it up when I was little either. I just thought it was in reverse.
You know? Yeah, it's in reverse because they're trying to say that that's how Swedish people sound.
Gotcha.
And it was classic because he tried to blow, or he didn't try. He blew dust off of a book, which would have happened in real life, in normal, yeah. I mean, forward time. But in backwards, he sucked dust onto a book.
And then does, but exactly. And that that part that you're talking about, when he inhales the dust the way it's played yeah. back, and then he does a little turn and cough. It just, right. that was, I love that scene. Genius. When I saw the IMDb, I thought he would be in it more than that. But that scene was beautiful for him. It was great. He was a creepy dude. I mean, he's a creepy guy.
He was creepy. And I will say that scene, every like 2 seconds, had something in it that was very deliberately done that when doing it in forward made no sense whatsoever. Only after the actors saw it, I'm sure it made sense to him.
Oh, I think the whole scene was, everything was, I mean, every movement of that scene, I think, was completely deliberate to make it,
right.
To be
yeah.
weird.
I mean, they had this, you got to watch Val Kilmer at the end of that scene shake the bookstore owner's hand. It was a weird handshake. And then the dog walked in reverse. Yeah.
Which that I thought was the weakest part of the whole scene. But their interaction was great. I mean,
yes.
You're right. That was a really good scene. And that's what I liked about this movie is that it was very creative, really creative. I mean, you're taking a story. Okay. All right. So I compare it to like Cloak and Dagger. I mean, you take this like espionage type movie. Yeah. So this movie was good. I mean, we had to edit out a little bit there. So, but yeah, this movie. The comedy in this movie was great, basically, is what I'm saying. Aside from it being a cheesy story, which it's supposed to be, it's a spoof, I thought the comedy in this movie was great. I know I said it before, but I really did. And funny thing is, I probably wouldn't watch this movie again. I probably won't.
Well, here's the thing about the movie. You almost don't need to, because it just is what it is what it is. And I will say, I think you mentioned something that I never caught on. Because this was Val Kilmer's first, like, real role, I'm guessing he did not have a lot of power, a lot of stroke when it came to how things were done. So there were scenes where they could really pump up the funny without him even in it. Like with Cedric and the props, or Cedric being in the car, you know, or like when Latrine jumped on the hand grenade, you know what I mean? Val didn't have to be in the scenes for them to be funny. In fact, there were some scenes that were funny because he like wasn't in it, you know, like when they were scaling the wall to the German fort and they punched the guy over the edge and he broke into a million little ceramic pieces, you know, Val was nowhere to be seen. And that was funny.
Yeah. 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 There was lots of scenes that were funny with or without Val.
Yeah, and the one scene, even as a kid, I knew something was coming, but I didn't know what it was until it was already done. The very last scene where she's saying goodbye to everybody, and she goes down the line.
Dude, I was just going to say that.
I'm sorry.
Damn you. That was my next thing I was going to say. No, you beat me
to
it.
Well, we can give the listener deja vu. Go ahead.
No, you do it.
Well, she went down the line and she was saying bye to all the French people. And then she went to Deja Vu and said, I hope we meet again. I believe that's what she said. And it was like,
She said, I'll never forget you.
Sorry. And it was like, you knew they had to do a gag right there. It was mandatory, like by law. The guy's name is Deja Vu. And she's saying goodbye.
That was what you're going to say?
Well, I'm sorry. I did. Yes.
The next thing she did was say goodbye to Scarecrow, and she said she'd miss him most of all. You know, now that was the corniest thing in the whole movie, but for some reason, the way she did that, I laughed out loud. And I'm like, you knew that was coming. Of course she's going to do that. And I still laughed out loud for that part. I don't know why. Because I think she just did it really well. Anyway, and then she got on the plane. I thought you were going to say, Dor.
I'm sorry. It wasn't, because that was the one part as a kid I knew was coming. I didn't know the Scarecrow part was coming.
Dude, how your mind worked as a kid was weird.
Duh. Hello. Welcome. Hello. My name is Dor Geek.
Hello.
Well, and I'll say the other scene that as a kid I knew something was coming, but I wasn't quite sure, was when he was locked in jail and going through the vents. To me, that was just good. Yeah. He just crawled in the one vent, and as soon as his feet disappeared, he came tumbling out the other vent. Yeah, you know, it was.
His head popped up through the toilet.
His head popped up through the toilet. It was those little stupid sight gags that, as a kid, I absolutely loved. Loved, because, you know, so simple yet effective.
Yeah, they were good. I like when he was in the jail cell and he's. They shot to the point where he got locked up, right when he got locked up, and he's writing marks on the wall, like he had 20 marks written on the wall, and he looks like crap. He's like all run down, and his manager comes in, and he's like, oh, he's like, man, he's like, I've been here for 20 minutes already.
Right.
He was just marking minutes down. I like that scene, too. Isn't that the scene where the anal intruder came out?
Right, yes. After that, he proceeds to tell him how he's tried everything, and you think he's trying everything to get him out, and he's talking about his marital issues and him and his wife. So there was a scene in this in the last episode, Smoking and Bandit. We were talking about the roll-in, and where Burt Reynolds just kind of looks at the camera, gives you that really cocky smile, and then takes off. But there was a scene in here too, where they actually say it's like we're in a bad movie, and then they both just pause
slowly,
and they both just kind of look at the camera. So I just thought that was kind of funny. And you had called it something like
fourth wall or something.
Yeah,
fourth wall. Yeah, I like that. That was a classic scene.
Yeah, and I can never remember if that was in the park or that was. No. That was right after they first met Nigel. And he was like, no, come on. You act like this is the first time this has ever happened to a guy. And then he went through the whole spiel, the whole story of like, oh, yeah, you know, you act like this is the first time when this American star has came over to Germany, been falsely accused for it, and then
only to fall in love with a girl who is deserted on an island and a childhood lover.
Was it that scene?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
And then,
was it?
Yeah.
And then she said, well, you know, it all just kind of sounds like a plot from a corny movie. Pause. Awkward.
Well, it wasn't right after they met Nigel. It was like after she said she was going to stay with Nigel.
Yeah,
right?
Something like that.
Parachute scene when they're parachuting out of the plane.
Yes.
That was classic too, because Nick's like falling down on his parachute and he passes Hillary and Hillary's like, oh, Nick. And he comes back up. Right. And then she goes over to him. It's like they're standing there, but they're actually falling from the sky. And then they're talking and they're having a little like lover's quarrel. And then she turns around and walks like 5 feet and like floats 5 feet away from him. I loved that, how they did that. It was so funny.
Because the whole time, and then the very last part of the scene when they're kissing, they fade to the side, and then there's a fireplace parachuting as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that was gold.
Those two scenes, that scene and then the end scene where she says goodbye that you guys are talking about, man, those just kind of went by me. I kind of edited those out, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Really? You mean you didn't like them, or you just forgot
them?
Just
didn't stand out to me, I guess. I don't know.
See, Sean, there is a difference here. I've seen the movie probably 50 times, and like this, for some reason, first of all, I can't believe, I can't believe you said you wouldn't watch this movie again.
I would.
Because this is the kind of movie where you catch things the second and third time.
I watched it twice. That's, you know, so I'm good. I've got my two times in.
Well, yeah. I'll say I'm not going to actively go out of my way to watch it. If I see it's on, I will finish watching it. It's one of those movies to me where I feel almost mandated. I will say that.
And for me, if I would have watched it for the first or second time my age now, I would have done the same thing that Sean said. I would watch it once or twice and not again. But as a kid, it just sticks in my mind. Like, the scenes just stick in my mind.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the point of this podcast, too, is, you know, we're looking at movies that we had, like, some sort of connection with as a kid growing up watching it, and that you just, over the years, you think, oh, wow, it's so good or whatever. But the other beauty of it is there's the three of us, And not all of us are probably going to have seen those movies or have the same kind of connection that the other ones have. You know, you guys remember watching it as a kid. You really enjoyed it. For me, it was like I'm watching it now. You know, so I don't.
So we shouldn't do movies like that.
No. I think that's better. You know, because you get a different variety of input on these movies. I liked it. I definitely liked the movie. And it was from that time. I could feel like the 80s spoof in the movie. You know what I mean? So I want to do movies that, I mean, I don't want to be seeking out movies that, okay, oh, you didn't see this one. But if that's what happens, because, right. I mean, if we start going into movies that someone didn't see, you know, now you're throwing a lot of movies out. You know, because we discussed a movie that we want to do in the near future. That's another movie that I saw parts of it, but I never really got into it. And that's going to be an episode coming up that you guys, I think, had seen. Yeah, you guys had seen it.
Does it start with the letter G?
Yeah, it was Ghostbusters. We'll just say it. I was not a big, huge Ghostbusters person. You know, I didn't get into the whole, you know, phenomenon of the Ghostbusters.
Well, I'll just say, I remember watching Airplane with my dad, which one that, let me tell you something, kid friendly, plenty of scenes in that movie, not kid friendly, but I watched as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching this movie with my dad. I remember at the end credits, my dad telling me to stop and watch, basically stop talking and watch this and, you know, watch this screen. He was also the guy that took me the whole family to a drive-in to watch Ghostbusters. So my dad definitely was like a more of a slapstick physical comedy kind of guy. And I remember the first time watching those credits thinking, why am I watching these credits? Why am I watching the credits? And then I see, hey, diddle, diddle, cat on the fiddle. Like, you know, the character name was hey, diddle, diddle. And the person who was playing it was, and the kind of fiddle. And it was just like ridiculous. And then I remember I have to watch this a little bit closer. And there was a couple times on the end credits where this was the kind of thing they did not have to put into the movie. But somebody said, we're going to do this. We're going to put a little bit extra funny into this movie.
Because the people that do catch it are going to appreciate it. And it's kind of like you came full circle, Dor, that now you the teacher, because you told me and Steve, you yelled at us because we didn't watch the credits. So I watched them today specifically. I didn't probably catch everything, but I did. Well, I did catch like Forez, Foreez, and right. Then Jolly Good Fellow. Yeah. I caught that and a couple really? Of different things. I'm like, okay, that's what Dor was talking about.
Well, you guys had a big advantage because when I was a kid, I saw it and then I didn't see it again for years. Where we today just hit rewind. You know what I mean? Because I saw this in the theater, I want to say for the very first time, or on TV.
You hit rewind?
No. So back then there was no rewind.
Oh, I was gonna say.
I had to catch it or miss it for years.
Because
VCRs, man, that's where I watched it.
VCR.
Well, I didn't. And we abused rewind.
My daddy, being a law-abiding citizen, he was a officer. We did not pirate any materials.
Who said anything about pirating?
Dude,
HBO. You just buy it. No.
My dad was a cop. We couldn't afford HBO.
Well.
I didn't pirate anything back then.
No, I was telling Steve.
Well, I guess it is considered if, you know, it was unauthorized duplication of an HBO movie, right?
I guess you could say that, but I mean, whatever.
Everybody
we
did
all,
it back
Yeah,
then.
We all did it.
I will say that.
And we
but
were
we, But we didn't have it, you know.
Yeah, but we didn't go selling it or like distributing it. We did it for ourselves.
Yeah, I mean it was great. It was the DVR of the day.
Yeah,
you know, and it was awesome for us until you watched the movie, you know, 100 times.
Yeah, I don't think we had cable until like 89. I remember having to go over to my buddy's house and watch MTV.
Yeah, see, that's weird too. Like my, you know, my mother was a stay-at-home mom. She was a lunch lady. Just to get out of the house, you know, where my brother and I would be at school. So that was, you know, that was kind of cool. As you know, Mrs. J, the lunch lady, everyone loved her. She was cool. But like my father, you know, he was a postman, and then he would, at you know, come home, have quick dinner, and he would go out and be a stock boy at the local grocery store. I mean, we didn't have any money either, but that was like his, you know, that was his little treat, I guess. I mean, I'm sure cable was expensive, But compared to what they charge us now.
Well, compared to what it was against back in the day, it was insanely expensive because the competition was free. I'll say my dad's vice, I guess, was Civil War books. And let's say I didn't quite partake in that form of entertainment like he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't get into that.
That was my father's, too. We actually took our family trip to Gettysburg one summer.
Oh, I did. And I remember him screaming at me to stop walking. And I took like two more steps. And I turned around like, what? You know, because I couldn't stand the place. I'm like, this place is driving me crazy. There is no fun here whatsoever. There's people with bad fake accents here. And then he said, look down, stupid. And I looked down and I literally stepped over top a copperhead snake. And I remember, maybe I should listen to him next time.
I loved it there. My dad and I were the only ones. My brother and my mother couldn't. They were like, really, dude, this is our summer vacation, Gettysburg?
The only thing I remember is a hot chick churning butter. Okay, that was the only thing I remember I found at all appealing about Gettysburg. Hey, man, there's a big field over there.
That almost makes you want to go right now.
Wow.
I grew up in Philly. There's lots of history here, and I couldn't stand any of it. We went to like Valley Forge, and you just walk around these giant paths to nowhere in a circle. Oh, man, it was a nightmare.
So you miss it.
Hate it. I'll take a cheese stick.
Yeah, buddy.
So let me ask you guys, as far like a lot of these movies, do they have for you, like, do you think like your connection with some of these movies are one, just because you really like the movie, or two, like your father or your mother took you to see it, or you know what I'm saying? Because we kind of talked about that with like Murder, She Wrote. You know, I love Murder, She Wrote. Reminds me of my grandmother, and I do like the show as well. I watch it to this day. I still watch it.
No, you said you love
it. Okay, I love it. I love Murder, She Wrote. And I love to watch it at work on break. I don't care what people say. But, the reason I think I do get into it now that I got back into, you know, it reminds me of my grandmother.
Right.
You know, so some of these movies, you know, I can have a connection of like, you know, 'cause I remember my mother taking us to a lot of movies as kids. And just that simple bonding, you know, part. That, I'm just very sentimental about stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
I was
going to say, with my dad, I definitely remember him introducing me to Young Frankenstein and History of the World Part 1. And I remember my mom introducing me to, I will say, Murder, She Wrote. Golden Girls, because my mom was one of those Golden Girls. You know, that's all it was. And what was the other show? Oh. I will also admit, Sean, Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Dude, yes, absolutely. I like some of these movies because of the childhood connection. And for Top Secret, that's probably why I do like it. I'll tell you, man, if I didn't watch that as a kid, I'd probably think it was okay, really. I might not even watch it, to be honest. So like, probably all the movies we're going to go over, if I do like them, it's because of the childhood connection and just seeing them as a kid and just having those memories. So totally, 100% yes. That's why I like most of these movies we're probably going to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, because I think I find like some people, you know, and everyone's different. They just don't – like my brother, my older brother, you know, I'll say stuff and he'll just be like, how do you – you know, like, he just does – it doesn't – he doesn't care anymore. It happened. It's done. And I know we've had this conversation, the three of us before on the side, where Steve, you were the one that was kind of like that, which is
I am like that.
But it's funny that now I have you on this show. But there's a guy at work. I remember asking him about some stuff, you know, like shows like that. And he's like, I don't know. But then we would start talking about a movie, and I don't remember what it was. But then he started coming to me all the time. Hey, remember, you know, about old movies, you kind of bring up those memories. But that's just, I mean, that's how I am. My wife even, she's kind of like, yeah, it was good at the time. You know, like the whole arcade games and stuff. Like, I suck, and I sucked at arcade games. Like, I was not good. But my memory of them is watching my brother, standing there with my brother playing video, you know, arcade games, or just playing alongside him. You know, my parents would go bowling every Sunday. And you know, back then they would just go, okay, here's a couple bucks, get yourself a candy bar, go in the little arcade area of the bowling alley, and we'll be back, you know, come back over here in like an hour. And I just, you know, so to me, Joust and stuff like that is just me watching my older brother play and being like, wow, he's really good. You know what I mean? And I'm really bad. I'm out of money already. So I don't know. It's just funny. That's how I am.
Yeah. Well, I'll say I was the younger brother, but I was the guy that could take $5 and make it last easy 5 hours in the arcade with some Super Mario Brothers. You know what I'm saying?
I was a $5, 5 hour guy too, Dor. Yeah. You just have to pick the games you're good at. I sucked at a lot of them, and I would dominate some. Dominate. And I was at, like, you know, 12, 13, and then, like, you'd call them you remember how you called teenagers back then? Like, when you were, like, 12, you're like, oh, there's teenagers. And they were, like, big. They were, like, huge and, like, you know, intimidating, these teenagers. Well, I would just school teenagers left and right when I was, like, 11 and 12 on some games. But I only played the games, like, I was good at.
Karate Champ.
My ass in online.
I used to school some people in some Karate Champ. Double
really?
With the double joystick action, baby. They don't make games like that anymore.
I was good at the racing games.
Well, yeah, I was definitely the guy who blew through his money real quick. And then, but I probably ate two... You know, Three Musketeer bars too. I was like, chocolate video games. I'm gonna go with the chocolate.
Just saw Wreck-It Ralph again yesterday too. Highly recommend that if you guys are a video game lover.
My oldest son got it as a Easter present. I will be ripping it to my Plex Media server in no time.
Yeah, it's a good movie. We took the kids. I think it was Thanksgiving. We took them Thanksgiving night. Took the kids to see that movie. It was really, it was a real good movie. So
yeah, well, I guess you won't like it if it has a sequel.
I won't like it. I don't like sequels. They're just fake. Like, I like movies that are like, and I said the word last week, Dor, clever, original, and something else. And sequels aren't. They can't be because they're a continuation of the original. So all the originality is gone. You're already introduced to all the characters. They're doing it most of the time to make extra money. Don't get me started.
I like Airplane 2.
I couldn't tell you what happened. Oh, the Lunar Shuttle? Yeah, I could tell you what happened on that.
Yeah, I will also say 90% of the time when it's sequel, it's just cheese. You know, it's so often just sucks.
Yeah. I agree. Well, Sean did bring up some good points last week, some good ones.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah. There
I'm
are
still, not a
there are
guy.
Some plenty of good ones out there, but they are diamonds in the rough. You know.
I agree. I'm not a sequel guy.
Yeah, and they never made a sequel to this, but I found it ironic. Val Kilmer's next movie was called Real Genius. Where in that movie there was top secret things going on. I just found it, you know, a little ironic.
You know, it took Keanu Reeves a bunch of goofy roles before he did a
Wild
serious thing.
Wild Stallions! Yeah,
Keanu
man.
Reeves. You like Keanu Reeves? You're a big Keanu Reeves fan?
I like Socrates.
No, I liked him in Bill and Ted. I thought he should have been a goofball for his whole career. I thought he was great in Bill and Ted. When he started getting serious, I'm like, where's the funny guy?
Yeah, I remember going to see that movie at the theater, too.
Johnny Mnemonic. Whoa.
We used to go every Saturday to the roller rink, and then my mother would pick us up. We would go in the morning, and I want to say we'd pay like $5. And then, like, they had the morning and then the afternoon. And, like, if you were at the morning, you could pay like $1.50 or $1.25 and then stay for the continuation of the next round. I think they had a big arcade section. And they had a big rink, and in the middle of the rink, they had a big DJ booth with a dance floor. And the black lights and disco ball, and that was when breakdancing was really in, and that's why I would go with my brother and, like, his crew or whatever. Like, they would just break all day, man, and I would just sit there and hang and watch. I never would roller skate. And
they
play
would lock
video
and
games.
Pop.
They were good. And then my mother would pick us up, you know, like 4 o'clock or whatever. It closed 5 o'clock, and a lot of times she'd take us to the movies after that. It was fun, man. My mother definitely, you know, she was like our friend, but, you know, because she wanted to give us stuff. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't want to be, she would sacrifice so that we could do stuff. It really was cool. You know, my father, you know, wasn't there a lot because he was working a lot, right. But that was his sacrifice, you know, whether or not he would change, but. You know, he was doing it for us so that she could be there, you know, and it's that whole parenting and having kids of your own thing. You kind of go take a little bit from this, you know, like, all right, I don't want to do too much of that. Take a little bit of this, not be so friendly, not work so much, you know.
And well, yeah, same thing with my dad. He worked for 20 years, 60 plus hours a week. So my mom was basically the one who was always around, and she would take shortcuts to get us better stuff. I remember my dad always telling us how we needed to get Pro Wing sneakers. Oh, the most uncomfortable piece of poop sneakers ever. Things would last like 3 weeks and start falling apart. And my mom would dip into her bingo money, into her bingo winnings, and buy us shoes. And then she would like...
Nikes.
And then like, because she would go to bingo. Once in a while, I went with her. And, you know, good luck charm kind of thing. She would win like $200 and then come home. He'd say, how'd you do? I broke even.
Yeah.
And then the next day she would take all the kids out.
Yeah. I never had Nikes.
Oh, I loved me some Nikes, man.
Yeah. I have like Nikes. Puma. You know, I had my Pumas. I had British Knights. Remember British Knights?
BKs.
Yeah, I had British Knights. I had British Knights when nobody Chuck knew what Taylor's. They were, and it sucked.
Yeah, because everyone probably was like, what are you wearing?
Yeah, they were.
A year later, everyone's like, yeah, man, I got my BKs.
Yeah.
With my wide laces.
I love Nikes. I always wanted Nikes before I was actually able to get them. I always wanted them. All the cool kids wore Nikes.
Yeah.
I had freaking Zippos or Zips, whatever they're called.
And I will say, my dad, though, was the movie guy. Now that I stop and think about it, the only time my mom ever went to a movie was when it was a drive-in because she could smoke. I don't ever remember her being in an actual theater. I don't think I do.
Surprised back then.
Yeah, my dad doesn't like going to the movies either.
I don't like going now, but that's because I can't stay awake. So I always feel like I'm paying for a nap. Yeah. I cannot stay awake in the movies. Well, see, we try and take the kids quite often, you know, not every week, but, you know, once a month we try to, I guess that's not that often, but once a month we try to take them. There's an old theater. I live just outside Niagara Falls, and there's an old theater in the falls that, you know, they'll get the movie that's been out for a couple of weeks, and they'll get it there. And the ticket prices are really reasonable, and it's just that old feeling. And I posted on Google Plus at one point where they have, like, a couple, they have like an original Asteroids, original Miss Pac-Man, and Centipede. It's just a cool little place, man. The theaters are real kind of small inside, but if you get it the right time, there's no one there. Even their popcorn, the concessions are a lot cheaper, you know, so you don't feel.
It better be. I don't know how you can make them any more expensive.
So you don't have to feel like you got to sneak stuff in, you know. So.
You need to get more sleep, man.
I don't. I'm up late, up early. It's just the life of a father, I guess, with young kids. You know, once they're in bed, you don't want to go to bed when the kids.
That's your time.
That's your time, exactly.
Yeah. I will say I haven't really liked anything in the theater for a long time. I go with my wife, you know, she wants to see something. I support her. We'll go watch something. Most of the stuff we go see in hindsight is horrible. It's bearable, watchable to some degree, but it's just bad. She asked me the other night, what movie in the last 5 years that came out that I genuinely liked? And I had to literally look up on a webpage, you know, the hits for the last 5 years. Kung Fu Panda 2? I kind of like that. It was a good story, you know?
But, oh, man, I agree. You know, there's a lot of
the G.I. Joe movies, the Transformer movies, the new Spider-Man movie. Dennis Leary was good in the new Spider-Man, I'll say that. But most of the movies, it's just like, they're watchable, but they're not good. You know, they're not really good. And they're few and far between. Where I honestly believe back in the 80s was the prime time of a lot of good quality movies where you didn't need to have big names in them either. You know? Like E.T. Who was in E.T.? You know? Firestarter. She was nothing back then. You know? Goonies. I mean, all these people who were in these movies were you know, used to be bigger, or they were kind of names, but they no real big stars in a lot of the really good movies.
Who was in Firestarter? Is that Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the old guy, who I can never remember who that was, but he was a kind of name, you know. But then, of course, you had movies like Cannonball Run, you know. Big name.
Yeah, there's a lot of recognizable faces from back then that, you know, you wouldn't, I guess, say were real huge.
Superstar.
But you'd see them a lot of times, you know, the same actors in different kinds of movies. I mean, the movies now, I like some. And, you know, when we do go, they're obviously they're kid movies. And then any kind of like...
They're usually the best.
I do normally enjoy them. As far as like, I get, you know, if you want to say like adult movies or whatever, a lot of times, for one, you know, it's hard to get a babysitter sometimes. So to go to dinner and a movie, a lot of times it's kind of hard to do. It's like one or the other. So a lot of times she'll go with her girlfriends. They kind of do like a girls' night out, you know, once a month. They'll go out to dinner and then maybe they'll go to the movie, or she may just go with one of her girlfriends to a movie. And that's fine. Go ahead. Because like I said, I'm going to fall asleep. Right. And generally, there's not that much that comes out that I really have to see at that moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, who wants to see the new Total Recall? I mean, come on.
Yeah, some of these reboots are unnecessary.
Dude, they're rebooting stuff because they can't think of anything else is the only thing I could think of.
I know, it's so
lame.
Was
Red Dawn, was that at the theaters or that straight to video?
Oh, that was in theaters and out very quick.
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, I have absolutely no interest in seeing that remake.
Why would
at
you?
All. Well, I mean, it's going to be completely different, I would assume. I mean, I can't say I didn't see it, but I'm assuming lots of big explode, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
And this time?
I watched the beginning of the new Footloose, the beginning. And I only made it 10 minutes in, and I'm like, it's the exact same movie with different actors. I don't know how it ended up.
Different music, I'm sure.
But
at least a little bit.
No, it was the same music, and it was really
bad. Who
was
the lead in that, the remake? Do you even know?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't get up to that point.
I think my wife might have seen it. I don't think I saw it. I mean, I've seen the original Footloose. But
who hasn't? Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
Sean, did you fall asleep during Top Secret? Maybe that's why you didn't like it so much.
No, I didn't. If I would have went for a third time, I definitely probably would have. But I will say this, the second time I did skip through the singing. I'm not one real big on singing. There's only really one movie, which I'll probably never get you guys to do, that has a lot of singing.
Is it a musical?
Because I'm not normally a music person.
Give us a hint.
Henry Hill?
I mean,
I think it's Henry Hill or Hank Hill? No, it's
Hank Hill from King of the...
Yeah.
King. What was the name of the show?
All right, let me say this. The main character was in Last Starfighter.
What? The Last Starfighter?
The Last Starfighter. The main person in this movie that I'm talking about, okay, was in The Last Starfighter.
He wasn't the kid. He wasn't the main kid. It had to be either the main girl or the old guy.
Or Centauri?
Yeah, he was Centauri. His character name was Harold Hill. I'm sorry, Henry Hill. That's Goodfellas.
Yeah, I have no clue,
the music,
dude.
Man. I absolutely love that movie. Love it.
I don't know.
It's got Buddy Hackett in it. I think Ron Howard was in it.
Oh, then we have to watch
Shirley Jones. Dude, it's a great movie.
Are you being sarcastic, Thor?
The only movie I really like that has a lot of singing in it, I'm sorry, History of the World Part 1. I constantly sing inquisition song to the point where my wife begs me to shut up.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't.
Dude, I like the songs in Top Secret. I'm not a... I hate musicals. Shoot me first. But the Top Secret songs were awesome. I loved them. They were so much better this time than I remember as a kid. As a kid, I was a kid, they were kind of boring. They were so great. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm in music more
these
days.
Then here's the question. Was there a alternate meaning from Straighten the Rug? because as a kid, I remember thinking there was some kind of sexual innuendo. Then after watching it again, I'm thinking, I have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't either, but it's got to be something. They couldn't not have something behind that. I don't know what it is.
The only thing I saw was a giveaway. It was like 3/4 of the way through the video. They cut to a waiter or whatever who had on a toupee that was on incorrectly, and he took both hands and he straightened it out.
Right.
That was the only thing I'm thinking. Straighten the road. I have no idea what this song really means. I kept thinking there had to be an undertone. I just couldn't figure it out.
Straighten the rug. I'm not sure. You got me thinking on that one, Dory.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I definitely didn't analyze that.
Maybe Urban Dictionary has something in there that we don't want to read. Urban Dictionary.
I'll pass.
If I didn't have Urban Dictionary, I would feel like an old man because I hear the kids say something. Not my kids. I'm talking about the kids in general. And then I find out what it is on Urban Dictionary, usually to my dismay.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I can't check it out. I feel old because Urban Dictionary exists. But like, I'll just throw this out there. There's two ratings I'll give this movie. One is initial old appeal, and then right now replayability. Initial appeal, this had to get at least an 8.5 or 9 out of 10. Replay, it still gets like a 7.
Because there's so much going
on. Because it was literally nonstop, bang, bang, bang. And I'm sure even if I watch it again tomorrow, there will be at least one or two things I didn't pick up on. Like, here's the question. The beginning of the pizza scene. They showed the sign, they zoomed into the sign, then they were carrying the pizza through the place. What in the hell was on that pizza? Because it looked disgusting. They were like big black bulbous ball.
Oh, I think they were meatballs.
Dude, meatball don't like that, man. That was some German or something. I don't know.
Maybe they were flaming hot balls.
Yeah, that was really wrong, too. I forgot about that. Thanks.
Yeah, I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
I give this movie my end synopsis. I give it points for originality. Always something going on. It's tough because you see it as a kid and you see it now. It's like hard to make a adult educated rating of it. It's like there's too much sentimental value attached to it. But I could definitely give it points for originality and humor. I think it's got watchability value.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not that I wouldn't watch it again. I just won't go out of my way to watch it again. But I would recommend it to somebody that, you know, that likes older. You say older movies, and it's like, really, is the 80s the older? But I guess technically it is, which means we are older. That's the part.
Dude,
I don't like.
I found out the flower girl in my wedding is now 17 years old.
Yeah, that's tough to swallow.
Dude, that's scary. Yeah. I turned to my wife and I poked her. I said, that means we're getting old.
Yeah. But as an older movie, if people like, you know, movies like that, I would definitely recommend this movie. Like, yeah, it was funny. I won't go out of my way to watch it again. If it were to be on TV and I'm flipping through, I would definitely stop and watch it again. So as an overall, I mean, yeah, I would probably give it a 7. You know, for the movie. And I would recommend it. You know, that's really about all I can say for him.
Dude, that doesn't sound like an enthusiastic recommendation.
Like, you got to watch Top Secret. I almost said Top Gun. You got to watch Top Secret. I'm not going to go to work be telling everybody I watch Top Secret. Although a few guys did pass me and I'm at break. And, you know, they always lean over to see what I'm watching. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I kind of remember that movie. I remember that. So.
Wait a minute. They lean over and see what you're watching. So they've seen you watch Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
What do they say about it's that? Like,
dude, I mean, I'm the geeky dork at work, I guess. I don't know. But you know what? Okay. It's like I don't care anymore. You know, I'm 38 years old. My kids love me. They don't care. I mean,
Wow, you are old.
Who cares? You know what I mean? I'm done worrying about that crap. I did that when I was a kid. Those days are over. You don't like it? Split. I got time for you. But
so if you had little Murder, She Wrote stickers, would you wear them on your soundproof earmuffs?
Stickers? Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. If like
sure,
we got
give
you some
Murder, She Wrote sticker, I'll put it on my earmuffs at work. I don't care.
All right.
I'll put a pin on too. All right. Give me a big pin. Remember when pin collecting was good? See, we're...
Yeah.
We got to wrap this up. We're just going to keep going and going and going and going and come back.
I agree. There's lots to talk about.
But, yeah. So, well, that's pretty much... That is our review, our laid-back review of Top Secret. I think it's a good movie. It was a good hit. We'll definitely recommend it. I recommend it. Anybody listening, if you haven't seen it, go. If you got Netflix, go watch on Netflix. If you don't and you do Amazon streaming, go watch the crappy version on Amazon streaming like Steve did. But
there was actually two versions on streaming, so pick the other one.
There's like an SD and an HD, right, version or something?
I don't know if it was SD and HD. It was like two, maybe an edition and a special edition and regular.
I just saw it was expensive. It was like $10 to stream.
No comment.
To rent it on Amazon?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Steve, you're dedicated.
I wanted to get it done. You know, I had homework to do. I'm never one to not do homework.
He's getting reimbursed from the Throwback Review supplemental income acquiring infrastructure.
Yeah.
Account.
The check is in the mail, as they say.
Yes.
Well, listen, everyone that's listening, I apologize for our rat hole, but you know what? That's us. That we like to just kind of throw things around, I guess, but... that is this week's episode. Dor, anything you want to tell the people before we cut this one?
I'll just say I'm already looking forward to the next movie because I love excuses to watch this old stuff because, dude, there are some genuine gems, and I'm just giddy, giddy, giddy.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I approached you guys. It was just luck because Steve and Dor are big tech guys. And I said, look, man, this is your excuse. Once you watch a movie a week and we just record and just talk about it. If people haven't noticed by now, this is not a structured da-da-da-da-da-da podcast. It's not how we want it. You know, we talk about it. I want this to just be like a couple of guys, as I told them, just sitting around a campfire, drinking a beer or two, and just talking about a movie that they watched as a kid, you know. So we just want to come watch these movies. Just talk about them, have a good time, and hang out, and have everybody hang out with us. So, Steve, what do you want to tell everybody before we go?
I got a lot of products coming down the line, but we're doing an Android hacking product, doing a product for technicians to become better businessmen. Just go to stevecherubino.com. That's where I got all my stuff, and you'll see what I'm up to there.
All right.
And I love doing this. It is a nice break from tech, and it is a great. I love the excuse to watch an old movie every week. So I'm
and you don't
it.
Have to do any of the legwork. It's just record and send it to me, right? That's the
it's
best
a dream.
Part.
It's a dream. I love it.
Yeah. So SJ Diners, where you can find my stuff. I have nothing going on other than this, and I do Android App Addicts with Steve and Dor. We have another co-host, Eric, that's on that show. So if you did find us and it wasn't from that, go check out our Android show. If you got an Android phone and you want to find out some suggestion on apps, what we like or what we don't like, what we think is crap, we're very honest on our reviews of applications. So
oh, yes.
We don't pull any punches with that. And go to podnuts.com. There's lots of good shows there. If you're into Linux, if you're computer tech, there's a lot of good shows there. So, you know, go check that out. And go to throwbackreviews.com. You can leave a comment there or throwbackreview at gmail.com. So that being said, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening.
Wait. You dropped your phony dog poo.
What?
Phony dog poo.
Souvenirs, novelties, party tricks. Souvenirs.